And this morning we have the great honor of welcoming one of the original devotees of ISKCON, Her Grace Malati Devi Dasi. Because we know her to be extremely dear to Srila Prabhupada, we take it as a great honor that she's here today for this inauguration, and we take it as a sign of Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And now we invite Malati Devi Dasi, if someone will please set up the microphone for her, to give us a few words. And Nirkula, you'll have to work out with what the timing is as we go forward, because I'm not even sure what time it is right now. How much time we have? So you, what's that?
We have to
10 o'clock. You have to 10 o'clock? So just a few minutes. So we'll have to divide the time according. So maybe you can give signals and things
don't
like
worry,
that.
Don't worry, I don't take too much. You'll
have. We welcome Malati Devi Dasi.
Hare Krishna. When I come to such a wonderful event as an opening of another wonderful ISKCON center on behalf of Srila Prabhupada to push forward the Sankirtan movement, and there's such heartfelt enthusiasm in his was just mentioned, actually years of incremental planning for this, you know, it'll be like a few minutes when the day's over, you know. It'll seem that way. A moment is like 12 hours or more. And I reflect back in the actual beginning era of which by Krishna's grace, and it's inconceivable actually how someone like myself, who was just a foolish young American hippie girl, would come in contact with His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, at a time when there was just a little handful of men and women, very young. The oldest person in the movement that wasn't even defined it as a movement at that time was about 27. And then it went down back the other direction. So when we would open our temples, it was, to be honest, almost an unnoticed event. There was little ceremony. In the case of, I can speak from the second temple opening because that's where I came in the door. And we had, we meaning a small group, Mukunda and his wife, then Janaki, Mukunda Adhikari at the time and Janaki, and myself and my soon-to-be husband. We were still Melanie and Sam, and Joan and her friend Roger. And we just came down to San Francisco. Roger was already there, but the rest of us, the other five of us, traveled from Oregon to San Francisco. And the mission was to open a temple. The only two people in the group, the only three, were Janaki and Mukunda. They had met Prabhupada. They were initiated. They were the first marriage in ISKCON performed by His Divine Grace. Janaki wore a sari for the first time at her marriage. In fact, that's the way it was for most of us in those first few marriages. Her sister Joan, who was to become Jamuna, had gone back for her sister's wedding, so she had seen a temple, which in those days was only 26 Second Avenue, a small little storefront which could probably fit about 1, 2, 3 times into this whole space from wall to wall. Not significantly large, but in our hearts and in our vision, it was very big. Mukunda and his wife, Janaki, were actually planning to go to India. And it occurred to him that maybe he should ask the Swami whether or not there was something he could do for him before he went. And the answer was, since he was going to the West Coast, why don't you see if you can open another center? That's not exactly what he had in mind, but he accepted the desire and the instruction of Srila Prabhupada. So he collected myself and my husband, who at that point in time as members of the hippie tradition in Sampradaya, we weren't married, but we were living together, as it was on the top of a mountain in Oregon, employed by the federal government and looking out for fires. The only fire we weren't thinking about was the fire of devotional service. So they stopped and they asked if we'd like to join them to open a temple. And in my infinite wisdom, I asked, "What is a temple?" And he answered very truthfully for that time, it was a storefront painted white. So, already we had noticed some difference in their demeanor. When they arrived at our mountaintop, we were actually not present, we were on another mountaintop. And we returned, we saw this car with a New York plate. They had come from New York. And we were wondered who it was, and we were really excited when we opened our door. It was a small little one-room cabin in the woods to find our dear friends. And as it was in the Vedic civilization, you offer your friends something valuable. You make them welcome. You know, you offer them something in greeting. But we hadn't planned on anybody coming, and they'd already been in and made them, you know, they'd already taken their seat, as it were, so we couldn't even offer them a seat. So we offered them something that was very dear to us in those days, which was LSD. And we were surprised that they politely declined. Then they told us that they had new names, that Mike had become Mukunda and Jan had become Janaki. So, another interesting change. And when we entered, actually, Janaki was already cooking something on her little wood stove. And I didn't initially notice what the ingredients were, or maybe you could say what they weren't. But she was making some kind of little balls out of dough and rolling them. Giriraj Maharaj ki jai, Takama Swami ki jai. Okay. So, making these little round balls, rolling them out and putting them on the fire, and they were puffing up. So, to the uninitiated person, culturally and cuisine-wise and otherwise I just couldn't imagine what was going on. It just seemed so, you know, mystical, actually, that some little dough ball flattened out would like puff up. And before we took their meal, they bowed their head in prayer. And at those days, we didn't have the whole Sorry Arvita Jal, but we, you know, chanted the Maha Mantra. So then I realized, you know, there was no meat, fish, or eggs in this meal. And they explained that this was part of their new life. So it was really seeming like a big change had come over them. That, you know, no more drugs. And they'd gotten married. That was, you know, quite a phenomenon in those days for the young people. And the no drugs, the just the new names. And then he said that after dinner, I want to show you a book. So after we had eaten, he brought out the first three, it's the volume one in three parts, the original edition of Srimad Bhagavatam that His Divine Grace brought with him as his precious cargo when he came to the Western world. And it was at that time that I became connected with Srila Prabhupada. The hippies were on one level just, you know, crazy, foolish people, but on another level there was a very wonderful part of the hippies, which were they were very open and inquisitive, as opposed to the regular society at that time, which most of us were trying to get out of. They wouldn't automatically denounce something if they didn't understand it or it looked different. There was an inquisitive, and most of us really wanted to know if there was truth. We wanted to know truth, but it was not really forthcoming. And then all kinds of, you know, false conclusions. I'm God, you're God. There is no God. God is everything, everywhere. You know, kind of half understandings of truth. The I'm God, you're God thing just didn't set well with me, because I looked at my life and I thought, my God, if I'm God, this is bad news. It was like... So, I got the sign. The book was opened. The book was shown to me, opened up. And between the cover and just the first few shlokas, this willingness to resist any type of spiritual authority was washed away from my heart and my mind. My husband had always said, we need to get a guru. And my stupid little voice would go, you can get a guru. I don't want a guru. I don't want anyone to tell me what to do with my life. I want to make my own mistakes, you know. So that was, you know, typical foolish attitude. And then I looked at this book, and on the cover was a blue form on a snake with four, and the form had four arms, and then out of the form's belly came another form with four heads, and then there was all these little planets with replicated forms. So I asked Mukunda, what is this? Who is that? He said, this is God. And immediately I could accept, yes, God can't be like us, and we're not like that, at least, you know. So just was immediately, there's God, and here he is. And then looking through the book, just not even having a clue what was Sanskrit, but seeing the Sanskrit and finding out this was the original language, and then the word-by-word transliteration. And I kept seeing this one phrase in the purports, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that was just supremely wonderful. So I wanted to meet this person, the person who was bringing this profound knowledge in such a way. And thus my interest in meeting His Divine Grace was developed. And we agreed to go to San Francisco and establish a little storefront temple. But it was just very, almost casual. And we found the little storefront. We were painting it. We had no pictures on the walls. We hadn't really seen any pictures of Krishna except for the book. And one person came in while we were painting and he goes, "What are you doing?" And I told him, "Well, we're making a temple." And this person said, "Well, I've just come back from India and I'm an artist, so I'll make you a picture." And interestingly enough, he made a picture of Vishnu. He brought it over. And it was four arms, that was all there, the blue hue. But it was Vishnu flying out of a volcano. He took a little artistic license. But that was our singular piece of art on the wall, along with a Moroccan prayer mat, which the Muslims use, but Shamsundar had been in Morocco practicing herbology, and he had that with him. So that was on the wall behind the dais where Srila Prabhupada would sit. We didn't use the word Vyasa sign in those days. It was just a very simple opening, and it wasn't even grand. It just, okay, we're finished, and we just started doing what we do, and then all of a sudden the grand opening was when Srila Prabhupada arrived. So here he has arrived along with Radha Madan Mohan, Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and Sri Nrisimhadeva Lakshmi, and we're allowed entrance into this Vaikuntha atmosphere. Let us pray that the Vaikuntha atmosphere always remains in our heart and we can joyfully pass it on to others. Hare Krishna. Thank you.